Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
The best things in life are free, but you can give them to the birds and bees. I need
mine. Welcome back, 23 after the hour. Thank you very much for staying with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I am the Small Business Advocate, the one and only. Please check out my website, smallbusinessadvocate.com, and the one for my new book, The Age of the Customer, simply ageofthecustomer.com. Hope you'll check that out, and you can learn all about the shift that I talk about in the book and how to deal with it. And why maybe explain some of the reasons why your old practices aren't working anymore. And I hope you buy the book, but if you don't, you can still find out what I'm talking about on the website. Having a great visit with our new friend Adam Bryant, soon to be an old friend. We're going to get Adam back. We have a lot more we can learn from him. His new book is called Quick and Nimble, Lessons from Leading CEOs on How to Create a Culture of Innovation. Adam, thanks again for hanging out with us. Tell the audience how they can find your book.
If you go to adambryantbooks.com, you'll find it there.
All right, that's Bryant with a T, B-R-Y-A-N-T. Adam, congratulations again on the new book, and this is your second one, right?
Exactly. Thank you, Jim.
All right. So, folks, Adam's been helping us understand some of the elements of what makes an innovative culture, but Adam, we got folks listening right now who are saying, you know what, I don't think I have an innovative culture. I'd like to have one. I'm going to buy your book, Adam, but I've got these people, and they're a little suspect. I think they're a little hidebound. They're not as open to innovation and to creativity and to change. We now know that 66% of all of us don't, you know, we resist change. They're saying, you know, I've got some engaged people and I got some people who are not engaged. How does someone start from scratch creating an innovative culture in the middle of all of that?
Sure, and my book is really a playbook, and I can run through some very simple things. A lot of it is incumbent upon the leaders to do. The first thing is to have a simple plan, is to be able to stand up in front of your employees and say, folks, this is what we're focusing on. I'm not talking about mission, about changing the world. I'm talking about this is where we're going and how we're going to get there. This is how we're going to measure our progress. It's sort of like a sports team. When there's a scoreboard, everybody knows how they can contribute to the work that's being done. Mm-hmm. When the plan is unclear, people start pursuing their own agenda. So that's the first thing. The second thing is to be clear about what the rules of the road are in terms of the company's values. What are the behaviors that are both encouraged and are not going to be tolerated? And values are tricky because if you don't live them every day and enforce them, you use them as hiring criteria, firing criteria. If you state what the values are and if you don't live by them, that's dangerous. So the trick is state what they are, then everybody understands it, and they're going to be watching you carefully to see if you live by them and whether you make other people live by them. You can tolerate a little bit of heresy, but not too much. So those are a couple of things that are incumbent upon the leaders.
And these are things that if you announce, one of the things that I've done a lot of reporting on the show on with experts on change. And that's what innovation is. Innovation is change, and managed change. Hopefully, change with a change that we're leading, not change that's just happening to us. And what we've known now, and it's pretty very clear, and it's pretty intuitive, is that it won't be able to sustain itself if the top of the org chart isn't totally committed and isn't 100% focused on it all the time. What do you think?
I think that's exactly right. People watch leaders so carefully, not just what they say, but their body language, all the
It's like your children. They're like your children. When you got little kids and you look around and you're doing something, you look over and they're watching you like a hawk, right? Your employees do the same thing, don't they?
Oh, exactly. I've heard from so many of the hundreds of leaders I've interviewed, just they've had these moments where they, you know, their brow was furrowed, they looked stressed out, and that suddenly was rippling through the whole organization that something was wrong. So you really have to be incredibly self-aware of your body language, every little nuance, everything you say.
Well, and also you have to be prepared they're going to be tests of your philosophy, tests of your innovative plan. They're going to be some tests, character tests even, perhaps. You need to be prepared for how you're going to deal with that, don't you? Because some of it may happen on the fly. Some of it may happen, you know, in an impromptu way.
Exactly. I think employees always watch their leaders, and people have great antenna for authenticity, and they're always looking for gaps between what people say and their actions. So you have to be incredibly consistent in that way. The other point that I think is really essential for effective culture is avoiding the hazards of email, as I call it. I think email culture has taken root in so many companies, and it's really bad for culture because there's so much opportunity for miscommunication. Things get lost in translation.
So what's the alternative? Pick up the phone or go face-to-face?
Just tell people. It's like I've talked to so many CEOs. They really encourage people to get off email. You can't argue over email. They set those rules for the company. Pick up the phone. Go talk to somebody. That's the stuff that builds the relationships.
You know, that's my nature. It's probably yours, too. If you and I are working on something, Adam, and we do two or three emails back and forth, and it looks like this is going to take longer, I say, heck with this, I pick up the phone.
Exactly. Email was invented as a productivity tool, but it can chew up so much time, especially when you get into sort of disagreements with people, because if you would talk to the person, you could probably resolve them in about 30 seconds.
And here's another handy tool, folks. Management by walking around, right? MBWA, right, Adam?
Exactly. It's very
powerful. Adam, give us that website again, please.
Sure, it's adambryantbooks.com.
All right, the new book is called Quick and Nimble, Lessons from Leading CEOs on How to Create a Culture of Innovation. Adam, thanks for being here. Come back soon.
I appreciate it, Jim. Thank you.
Quick break.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.